I've said this on the show a lot, but it's very true. And I have another opportunity to share it here today. My wife has me believing in shit, in the universe. Now, I was raised to think that this, like, metaphysical crap is pure mumbo jumbo. You don't get to use the phrase mumbo jumbo a lot and really mean it, but I do here. I never believed in the universe. It was all coincidence, all happenstance, but my wife is slowly opening up my mind. She's opening my third eye, and I'm starting to listen with my third eye, whatever. Anthony Edwards, who is clearly having himself a moment this season, had himself a moment at the end of the Timberwolves-Pacers game on March 7th, 2024, with the game tied and 1.5 minutes left to play. Ant-Man went big. He made himself big. You know, when in the Marvel Ant-Man, he makes himself huge in the movie. You guys know what I'm talking about. That's what Ant-Man did. He went big and went to work. Ant-Man buried a 26-foot three-pointer to break the tie and give Minnesota the lead.
Pull up from deep. Cash!
On the very next possession, Ant brings the ball up the court, clears out the side, takes Aaron Nesmith into the lane, drops him off in the paint before burying a jump shot at the foul line.
Pull up! Yes, sir! He's unstoppable!
Miles Turner answers with his own three, but Ant takes the ball again and takes another tough shot with the game on the line.
Edwards, little hezzy, runner off one leg, got it to drop. 43 for Anthony Edwards.
Pacers down four. Aaron Nesmith keeps fighting, though. He gets fouled on a three-point attempt, makes all three free throws. Minnesota up one, 16 seconds left in the game. Indiana has to foul. Anthony Edwards goes to the line to ice an incredible night, maybe the best singular night of his career. He makes the first free throw, but misses the second. Miles Turner grabs the rebound, outlets to Tyrese Halliburton, who throws a beautiful hit ahead, up court pass to who? A streaking Aaron Nesmith. He just won't quit. 3 seconds left on the clock. Nesmith Eurosteps Mike Conley. He's wide open now for a game-tying layup when, all of a sudden, like a bat out of hell, Anthony Edwards comes literally flying into the frame to block the shot, save the game, win the game, and create the highlight of the season. The reaction was an immediate firestorm. People were openly calling for an emergency pod. We here at First Ballot, we waited. I can't tell you why. Maybe it was just laziness, but I think it was the universe. They told us to wait. And then last night, March 16th, 9 days after the block, Anthony Edwards played the Utah Jazz in Salt Lake. A Nickeil Alexander-Walker steal leads to a breakout. Anthony Edwards throws it to Nickeil. Nickeil throws it back to Ant. And Ant-Man goes Marvel big again. He uses the Marvel button, the Ant-Man science button, to make himself big. He leaps in the air and has what might be the dunk of the year on Utah's John Collins. It's a bloodbath. Grown men are yelling. The internet is going nuts. And all of a sudden, I realize not only do I have the perfect guest scheduled for this week's podcast in Zach Harper, who isn't just a guest of mine. He's funny. He takes this podcast very seriously. Also a lifelong Timberwolves fan. It's the universe taking care of me, taking care of you. Two good moments. A phenomenal guest. The universe is executive producing today's episode. It's Ant-Man's block versus Ant-Man's dunk. Which moment is better? Find out right now, right here on First Ballot. Welcome to First Ballot, the podcast that celebrates the sports moments that really matter and inducts them into the First Ballot Hall of Fame. On the show, we have to decide which moments are really special. It's not just about a great play. It's about the moments that cut through the noise, the moments that last forever. Something to consider on today's episode, especially. I am your host, Neil, the long-lost Gasol brother, the podcast Jordan Clarkson, half Filipino, half not Filipino, all Jollibee, the Reebok pump god. I'm not the biggest Lakers fan. I'm the best Lakers fan. I'm not always right, but never, ever wrong. Coming to you live from the Shaquille O'Neal Office Depot, big and tall executive suite desk chair. Today's episode is brought to you by the Ball is Life Podcast Network. The Ball is Life Podcast Network is growing, my friends. Jump on board now before it's very cool to listen to Ball is Life Podcast. Join the team at Ball is Life on all platforms. Anthony Edwards' game-winning block and Anthony Edwards' devastating dunk on John Collins are both exceptional sports moments, but which one is better? Is either of them good enough for the First Ballot Hall of Fame? Can they both make it? Will neither make it? Are we too soon with this? We have to answer all those questions today, and here to do it with me is a First Ballot favorite. He's a First Ballot guest. He's a popular basketball writer who's worked for ESPN, CBS Sports, and now The Athletic. He's a radio host at SiriusXM, a co-host of the very funny Patreon podcast, Emotional, a basketball podcast with Ian Carmel, and a co-host of the very popular podcast, you know it, you love it, Cinephobe on the Count the Dings Network. It's my friend, the Eric LaSalle superfan. It's Mr. Zach Harper. Wow.
I mean, I am an Eric LaSalle super fan, man. That, you know what? Thank you so much for the kind words and the great intro. I can pinpoint the Eric LaSalle part of the ER intro,
yeah,
where he does like this like punch, like almost like a sort of half karate move in the intro. It got me ready for ER every week.
It really gets you amped up. There's something about that punch happening on the tone of the music.
Mm-hmm.
And the performance, I mean, that role and his performance of it was legitimately great. But you're mm-hmm. right, there's something about that intro that really gets you fired up.
Yeah, and that, like, you know, Noah Wiley didn't do it for me. Even Clooney in the intro didn't do it for me. Juliana Margulies, like, no offense to them, but that Eric LaSalle punch, I'm assuming after a successful emergency surgery, oh my God.
Can you imagine, Zach, just for a moment, the director and the editor sitting in the room being like, what if we try that punch? What if we try the punch in the open? Can you imagine the electricity that fired through that room?
And I got to imagine, too, that once you get that, every show you do from now on, you're like, man, can Cody from Step by Step, can we get a punch in the intro? Like, he's going to be in the kickboxer franchise. You know, like, you got to try to double that everywhere. That's your calling card now.
Did you say Cody from Step by Step?
Code Man. Yeah, lived in the van, man. Nothing weird about that.
Played by Sasha Mitchell.
Yeah, Sasha Mitchell. I knew this line. I couldn't come up with Mitchell in my head, so I just said Cody.
I completely agree, though. You're just chasing that high. You're like, how can we get another punch? How can we get another punch on the beat? It really is a lot of fun. This what we're doing right now, having this deep conversation about Eric LaSalle and Sasha Mitchell / Cody, it's part of the reason why I'm so excited to have you on. I painted the picture of how the universe has brought this episode together. These two mm-hmm. incredible moments. And now I get to have a Minnesota Timberwolves super fan break these two down, decide which is better. I'm elated. I'm thrilled you could be here today. There's so much to talk about. Again, we usually table set. You're a Timberwolves fan. Let's just for a second talk about the Timberwolves. Do you think they have a chance to win the title?
No.
You don't think they have – wait, is it because of Kat's injury?
No, it's because, I mean, Jokic hasn't retired. And so it's no offense to the Timberwolves. I think it's an amazing team. I think it's the second best team they've ever had, which is not a high bar to clear now that I think about it. And Ant is the guy, and Rudy Gobert has turned the worst trade in NBA history to like it was a pretty good trade, which we all expected it to be at the time. Maybe not a great trade, but you're like, yeah, it's a pretty good trade. But no, man, Jokic he's still
I've never seen Denver and Minnesota play against each other. Does Gobert play Jokic well? I think that he's long, tall.
There's the story. There's the story of that I believe Jamal Murray told of Rudy when he was in Utah telling his teammates not to bring the double, and someone was like, buddy, he's got 40.
Right, I remember that story.
And so I think he plays him as well as you could hope, but right. Who plays him well, other than, no offense to Rui Hachimura, who plays him well? Like, that's
how dare you.
I don't want. I'm not besmirching your lovely Lakers. I'm besmirching coverage of the Lakers in that series after that first game.
It was insane. It was insane, and it felt like any chance you had. That's like the type of thing that you have to be like silent about. You have to hide that and you have to never talk about it or address it, and you have to give him little. Literally, it's like Rui's on Jokic for 2 minutes, and then take him off. And he never plays him again. And like, just, you have to like build Rui's confidence that he can actually do this. That was very painful to watch. So what would you say is the percentage chance that the Denver Nuggets win the NBA title?
80?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if they're healthy. If Murray gets hurt, or, you know, maybe Gordon or Porter, like, I think they could survive Porter being hurt. Cause I think Peyton Watson's really good, but I don't think anyone can challenge them in the West.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, maybe Boston. I don't think Boston can handle
it. I don't either.
Like, they just don't have the guys to do it, as good as that team is.
Another reason, Zach, that I'm excited that you're here. I sent this clip to you already because we're friends. We text each other.
Yes.
We check in on each other.
Yes.
We care about each other. Is all that true?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We've established this on the show. The first time I was on, we've kept it up. We met in person, like all that. Yeah.
You're listening to a live friendship. That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I sent you this clip. I've become obsessed with this clip and the performances in it. I sent it to you because I believe that you would feel the same way, and you do. Let's listen to it together. Here we go.
Three bags of Tostito scoops, I notice. There was a special on these tonight. 3 for 1.
3 for 1.
Yep. How can that be profitable for Frito-Lay?
Okay, that is game night.
That's a great question. I mean, it's...
That is Jason Bateman and Jesse Plemons in the movie Game Night, which I didn't know it was called Game Night until you said Game Night is the best movie. I just saw it as a clip. Somebody posted it and was like, these two guys, this is like an amazing line read. And I didn't know what it was. I just thought it was so funny what I was watching, not knowing the context in the least.
Yeah.
I actually think it might be funnier to not know the context of that whatsoever and to just know that Jason Bateman is holding a grocery bag full of Tostitos scoops and that Jesse Plemons is pissed off that he has them. If that's all you know and then listen to it, it might actually be funnier.
Yeah, there's this like infamous clip from PTI where it's Wilbon and Frank Isola talking about,
DeGrom.
DeGrom, yes, thank you. Yes. And so they're discussing DeGrom's Cy Young, and Wilbon's a very much a, you know, pitcher wins, right? Like, kind of guy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have the wins, but he had like a 1.4 ERA at the time. And Frank's like, he gives up a run and then just has to hope they score at all.
Yeah.
And Wilbon just goes, oh, you got to hang tough. And the reaction from Isola is, he goes, hang tough. It's it's the most defeated someone's been in a conversation they were winning, right? Where he's like, hang tough. Like, how does that make sense? And that's the tone that Plemons has. He's like, 3 for 1. How can Frito-Lay make anyone?
There is, if you listen to everything Jesse Plemons says and the way he says it, it's so funny. The pause and when he goes down on I notice after the three Tostito scoops, really. Yeah. Here, let's listen to it together.
Three bags of Tostito scoops. I notice
that that going down on I notice is so goddamn funny.
It's a man who has pre-FOMO. That's what that is. Like, that dude knows he's about to have FOMO that night.
There was a special on these tonight. 3 for 1.
3 for 1.
That three for one. So that's funny. Hey, tough. Yeah.
3 for 1.
And like, Bateman always has the best tone in his voice when he's lying, right? Like, yes. Any character he's doing, but his line is always just this incredible flat tone.
He is a world-class asshole. Like, he is so funny at being mean. And he does that thing where he's like, no. You think, like, as the character, he's like, you think you're going to back me out of this? I'm staying on this lie. I don't care if you know that I'm wrong. I'm just going to stay in it. And if I don't ever act like I'm lying, you can't ever really know that I'm lying. And so I'm just going to stay in it. And that's on his face throughout that entire clip. And it's so goddamn funny.
It's great. Yeah. Ugh. Oh, what a great movie.
Oh, my God. Game Night. I guess go watch Game Night. I've never seen it. I'll have to check it out soon. Let's dive into our moment. We have to decide whether Ant's game-winning block against the Pacers or the dunk on John Collins. We have to decide, which is better? Are either of those two good enough for the first ballot Hall of Fame? To do that, we have to go through our Hall of Fame credentials. Those are the categories by which we judge our moments. Zach's been on the show. He's been phenomenal on the show. He knows how it works. The first credential is always analytics. Here's some numbers behind this. The box score for the block is nasty. He played 38 and a half minutes, 18 to 35 from the field. That's 51%. 42%, actually 43% from 3-point, 3 of 7. 5 of 8 from the line. The free throws end up coming into play. 6 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 44 points total. The Timberwolves beat Indiana 113-111. He had 4 points in the first quarter, 11 in the second, 13 in the third, and 16 in the fourth. Your thoughts on his overall game against the Pacers?
I watched that. I think I dove into the game live towards the end of the first quarter. I didn't catch it from the start, but towards the end of the first quarter, I remember watching the game. And I remember in the third quarter thinking, like, man, he's cooking.
Yeah,
like, fine. Like, Ant's got it going, right? He's warmed up. And then in the fourth quarter, like, I mean, it's just like he just gets in these modes. And I was actually watching someone had put together this highlight reel on, I think it was TikTok. I was watching. This was about I was supposed to go to sleep at some point last night, and because I knew I was doing this in the morning, and it was about 1 a.m. where I'm like, why am I still on TikTok? This is stupid. But this video came up, and it's the one where Draymond is talking trash to Ant early in the game, right? He's like, what are you going to do about it? But Ant's like not really paying attention, which is great. And he walks the free line, like, talks to an opponent, or no, he talks to a teammate or whatever, and he turns around and realizes Draymond's talking to him. He's like, what? like what? Like, what are you talking? And Draymond's like being the tough guy and everything. And then the rest of the game is Ant cooking the Warriors. But he has this rhythm to him, to his movements, when you know he's locked in. He has this rhythm to him when he's forcing it, when he's trying to get to a point. But when he's locked in, man, his body, it's so fluid in every step, and the way he brings the ball into a move and the arm, like, it's just, there's a different rhythm to that. And in that fourth quarter, you could just see by the way he's moving, the way he's holding the ball, it's like, okay, he's locked in. Except that free throw, like, he's got a chance to ice the game, or at least make it to they need a 3 to tie. And I remember when he missed that free throw, and maybe this was decades of the Timberwolves disappointing me, but I remember in that moment he missed the free throw, I thought, oh, they're going to hit a 3. Right? Like, because it just, like, that's just what it felt like. Because that was the one point where he wasn't himself. He wasn't killing it. Was, you know, like you said, 5 of 8 from the free throw line, which is not that, it's not terrible considering the rest of the game he was having, but like that, I just remember that fourth quarter, maybe a couple minutes into his time in the fourth quarter, just thinking like, oh, this is like, he's gonna kill him.
We did Clay's 37-point quarter once before. If you have not listened to it, go listen to it in the back catalog. And it was the same sort of thing there where I love any time a basketball fan can feel it at home. Like we're, what you're functionally talking about is going. When I watch Ant at home, I know when he's going to be locked in and playing at his best. Because of the way he moves, you can feel it. I can watch it. I can see it. That's insane. But it's true. I know what you're talking about. And I just think that every chance I get to think about that and talk about that, I appreciate the opportunity because it's magic. It's magic that we know what's going on, what's going to happen. That's phenomenal. The game last night, we're recording this emergency podcast. The dunk happened last night. Here are his stats, his numbers from last night. Played 35 minutes last night, 12 of 20 from the field. That's 60%. Actually shot better. 5 of 7 from the three-point line, 71%. 2 of 3 from the line, 10 boards, 5 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks, 31 points total. It's Minnesota beat Utah 119-100. Obviously, Utah's, a worse team than Indiana, but the 31-10-5-3-3, in my head, I was thinking, oh, well, when he gets that block, it's the best game of his season. He played maybe the best game of his career, but he had 44-6-3-2-2. Like, the stats, the box scores aren't that far apart.
No. And it's, it's fun. I mean, this is a little bit of a tangent, but Wemby the other night has that 30-point, 15 rebound, 7 blocks, 7 assists. And what was funny to me is like you get all these people on Twitter going like he's making this normal. Like this is becoming regular. And so I was like, I don't know. That doesn't seem like a regular box score to me. So I looked it up. And it had happened 3 times in history. Unreal. And 2 of them were Kareem, right? Unreal. Like, but it's like, but it makes you feel like this stuff is right. Like Wemby's already at that level, right? Where he makes you feel like any insane stat line is just the regular form, even if it's historically inaccurate to say that.
Right.
And Ant does this thing where even in games where, and I don't know if this is stat inflation, with the era, we talk about this with Luka a lot and guys like that, where it's like, they're going to get their stats no matter what. I don't feel like Ant has been that guy, but more and more, like you see it, and he's got a ridiculous stat line at the end of the game, even though his averages for the season don't seem like that. Like, I know I just contradict myself, but it is something where, like, 31-10 and 8-6 and 3-3 or whatever. Like, it doesn't really make sense, but it also, you watch a game with him and you're like, yeah, he was everywhere. Like, he does everything. He's the best player on the floor. Yeah, I get it.
A large part of my role today is going to be trying to punch a hole into the argument for one or both of these moments. And I walked into this thinking, oh, shit, it's got to be the block because the game he had was amazing. And then I look at the box score from last night and I go, well, fuck. If you need an amazing performance to supplement this moment, the moment is greater if it's part of a bigger, grander, better full game performance. They're both there. You have an argument for both of these in the box score here in terms of numbers. Let's move on. It's the eye test. What did we see in these moments? Let's start with a block. Zach, anything stick out? I think I know what you're gonna say. Anything stick out when you watch the clip of the block? Anything stick out that might make this improve the candidacy of this block for the first Bell Hall of Fame?
There are 4 moments in that play that surprised me in the moment and surprised me even more in the replay. The first one, and I don't mean this, I don't mean to kill this player, but the gall of Aaron Nesmith to think like, I got this moment, and he's having a good year and I didn't think he was a good player and he is proving me wrong. Right. Like, but him being the one where I'm like, you're going to attack the rim here? It's not a bad basketball play. I'm just like, you got Siakam, you've got Halliburton, you've got you got guys, right? I think Mathurin was still healthy at that point. Like, you got guys. But Aaron Neese was like, Leroy Jenkins, I got this. Like, I'm going in, right? And so that. Then the whole time I'm thinking, well, you're going against Jaden McDaniels. He's top five defender great in the world. Defender. Like he, yes. like unbelievable, can block shots, can cover yes. ground, whatever. And I'm like, you're going at Jaden here. And as I'm concentrating on Jaden, this asteroid comes in to the picture. And now we've got an Armageddon situation. Now we've got a deep impact situation, right? Like this asteroid's gonna hit. There's nothing we can do about it. We tried, the scientists tried, there's nothing we can do. Our smartest Indiana scientists were on the case and they couldn't do it. And so Ant comes flying in and his hand, we always talk about the how, like, oh, he touched the top of the box. His hand's at the top of the box to block that shot.
Top of the box.
Top of the box. No, like, oh, it's a funny angle. No, like, it's up there. Like, that, he came flying in at the end of a game where I can't remember how many minutes you said he played, but he played a lot of hard minutes, right?
Yes.
Like, and he had that adrenaline, that energy to do that. Then what I didn't notice in the first viewing of it, but saw in the replay, he hits his head on the backboard.
Yeah.
Like, because I was so focused on the top, right? On where he hits the ball.
Right.
He hits his head on the bottom, like the bottom of the rim support and the backboard is. And then the scariest part of it all, I thought he was going to break his leg on the landing.
Yes.
Like, I thought, like, this is, oh my God, this is like a Paul George situation.
That's right.
Right? Like, he lands so awkwardly.
Yeah.
And almost on McDaniels, like he kind of like just plows through McDaniels, and all four of those things. I'm just like, each one individually is crazy.
Crazy.
All of them together. I'm like, I mean, come on, you couldn't ask for a better moment, especially in real time than that.
You're very good at this. That is, you've established that in prior episodes. You're doing it again here. The I want to comment on the asteroid thing. Yeah. It is like, the beauty of this play is every camera angle of this block is a completely different experience. Mm-hmm. There is one where there's like a reveal where the camera like pulls out or pans over, and maybe it's just the way the edit works in the social media clip that I've seen, but there's basically a reveal and it reveals Anthony Edwards. And so he's basically already airborne as you see Ant enter the frame. And it looks like he was thrown. It looks like a big, strong guy just threw him up at the basket.
They got Peck out of retirement. Nikola Pekovic came in and he grabbed Andy, he threw him across court. I saw this clip also on TikTok last night where it's this family, it's this like this married couple. And a child who, I don't know, must have been 4 years old or something. It's a small child. And they're like showing this kid a waterbed, right? Like the mattress is flowing and everything. And so like they throw the kid on the bed. And the kid's like rolling around on it. And then the dad jumps on the bed. And the kid has rolled to like towards the end of it. But because it's a waterbed, the dad jumps on the bed and it launches this child into the wall.
Yes,
it launches this child in the wall, and that is exactly that's what you're describing. Like someone put Ant on a waterbed and dropped their body weight on it, and he went flying into the play.
And nothing else needs to be said. That's exactly what this is. You've all seen it on America's Funniest Home Video montage. Yes. Kids on waterbeds flung into the wall by their parents. That's exactly what it looks like happened. He's like a projectile. He's just flying at the basket. And like him hitting the backboard is all wrapped up in it. You're like, of course, of course he hits the backboard. Someone threw him at it. Like you presume that's what happened. I also want to reference, you also mentioned him banging his head. What I love so much about this episode as I was preparing for it is there's so much balance throughout every category for both of these moments. So you talk about him banging into his head. We'll get back to that later here as we go deeper into the episode. As we move on to the dunk last night, he doesn't just boof it on, what's his name? John Collins.
John Collins, yeah.
He dislocates his finger. Like, he hurts himself in that play as well.
Yeah.
So, like, if you look at these moments and go, oh, well, the dunk is awesome because he actually hits his head and hurts himself in this play and he comes crashing down. But there's also the dislocation in the dunk, too. Like, he hurts himself in both of these plays. He plays, there's a little bit of reckless abandon which would scare me if I was a Timberwolves fan or an Ant guy. But as a NBA fan, I go, this guy is going all out. He's giving everything in these moments, and I love that.
Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't, like, I'm not like the cranky old man who's like, these players, they don't care. They're like, no, they care. Like, you can't be that good and not care, right? Yeah. I do think it's more calculated in the way guys approach things and think we have better training. You learn how to jump, you learn how to fall, you learn how to do all this stuff, right? Like, to protect these hundreds of millions of dollars, yes, that you can make if you're healthy or even relatively healthy, right? But there is something about, there's a few guys, I think Jaws this way, like there's these few guys where they just don't care. Mm-hmm. They're going to go make the athletic play no matter what.
Yeah.
If there's a play to make, they're going to do it. They're going to do it spectacularly. And there's something, I don't even know if it's nostalgic, but there's just something about it that really resonates. Like, I've always said that I actually think I would be afraid if I had Ja Morant's athleticism.
Right.
I think there's a part of me that wouldn't trust myself.
Right.
Of like, I don't know where I'm going. Yeah. Right. Like, I'm going to jump here and I don't know how high I'm going to go. And right. Ant now falls in that category. Like, when he hits his head on the backboard, I don't know if you remember, I think I was in the eighth grade. Remember the first time, maybe seventh grade, but you remember the first time you jumped up and you slapped the backboard in fact?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Like, you really hit, yes, like, really, like, slapped, yes, the shit out of it. Right. And you felt like a god.
That's right.
Like, you felt like a, like, I who knows where I'm, oh, going next, gosh, right? Like, first no, step, this little bottom of the backboard, next step, I'm gonna touch the sun, right? Like, I don't, like you didn't know where you were going next.
Right.
But he does this with his head in, crazy, the game on a block, on the dunk, to get high enough while trying to dunk on someone from an absolutely unreasonable distance, yes, away from,
yes,
the rim.
Yes.
The audacity to jump from there with someone in your way, yes, is insane. Even for the world star athletes. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, that's, it's rude. It's rude to, like, physics. To, like, it's not rude to John Collins. Forget John Collins. Physics, you're like, fuck off. I got this. Like, there's nothing you could do here, right? That, like, there is just this thing where I'm like, even at my most athletic, like, I don't know that I would feel comfortable with that kind of athleticism. It doesn't make sense to me. And so for him to be willing to risk his body and yet nothing really bad comes of that is, it's just adds so much to every moment.
It feels, I've only seen this movie once. My guess is you've seen it. You've seen Hancock.
Oh yeah,
Will Smith's Hancock. He seems conflicted, right? His life, he's conflicted as the superhero. Mm-hmm. He knows he has these powers. I think he's afraid that he's gonna fuck it all up a little bit. It's a little like that. Ant's got this like superpower, and it gets him into fucking trouble every once in a while because he leaps from the fucking dotted line, but there's a fucking full sized power forward in front of him and he's nowhere near the fucking basket, or he jumps up and his head is at the rim and then he realizes he's got to land, and you see just a little bit of like trepidation. He's like a superhero that's learning how to use his superpowers, and there's just a little bit of fear baked into all of these plays, and I love that about these. A Twitter finger segment I actually left out of this because who gives a shit what everybody else has to say, particularly when we've got Zach on the show. But Rex Chapman did tweet the dunk last night and wrote, to jump this high and land deftly on one foot without falling down is superhuman balance and physical coordination with someone beneath him in traffic. Crazy. And I think that it is crazy to think about him doing all this, that you mentioned, the distance away from the basket that he was, for him to basically stick the landing for all intents and purposes is impressive. And I immediately went and watched the Yuta dunk, the Yuta Watanabe dunk.
Oh, God.
That's an awesome dunk, and I love it. But only in comparing the two do I realize, oh, him falling on the Yuta thing and falling a little awkwardly and landing on his butt, like, it takes away, strangely takes away from the end of that moment. Whereas because he lands here, it's sort of like a little elevated. Ant says this, we'll get to this clip later. Ant talks about how he couldn't react to the moment because he was worried about his dislocated finger from the dunk.
Yeah.
And if I didn't know that he had dislocated his finger, I would have been like, oh shit, why doesn't he react? But because I know he literally dislocates his finger, walks into the tunnel, pops it back in, and then goes and makes the free throw. Like, it's, I don't even care that he didn't react, because him hurting himself and then fixing the shit and coming back in, having a whale of a game, is phenomenal.
Well, that's the thing, is like, he starts to, right? He starts to like stand over John and flex on him, and then you can see like this brief, he's like, oh, this hurts. I don't know if you've ever dislocated your finger. It hurts so much. It is like this weird I imagine it's like what it's like to be caught in a riptide but of pain, right? Yes. like it's not anything that like you can't get out of, it's not anything you can't get over, but it's this weird sensation of, oh shit, like, why, like, oh my god, my finger is like that, why is it bending this way? Like, it's, you're so confused in the moment. And but the great thing is literally everybody else reacts.
Yes.
I mean, the reactions everybody, I'm sure we're going to get to it, but like the reaction of everyone else, I don't need Ant to react in that moment. I don't need him to flex on him. I don't need it. Like, he could walk, he could have left the building and I would have been happy. Like, because the reactions of everybody else are it's just insane. They're like, I have three reactions that are my favorite.
Please.
Of this.
But well, hold on. I want to just, cause I don't want to take this from you. I want to hear you talk about all of these reactions that you love. I do just want to, for a second, go poke through that video again and look for the Utah Jazz fans. True horror on some of their faces, particularly young children who are like scared of what they just saw. We can't take away. And I love that it happened in Utah. A bunch of white people definitely don't know what the hell they're seeing. Really elevates the moment that this happened in Utah. I don't have anyone specific, but there are small children in that audience that look like they're on the verge of tears. Okay, let me hear your three favorite reactions.
Okay, so number three, we'll go in reverse order. So number three is Jalen Clark. Jalen Clark's in street clothes.
Yes.
Jalen Clark jumps up, realizes that Ant has hurt his finger, thinks that Ant broke his hand on the dunk.
Yes.
And so he's looking to anyone who will listen to him in the moment. But he broke it. He broke it. Like, he just keeps repeating. He broke it over and over and over.
Yes.
And it's so funny to me.
Jalen Clark knows he's on camera and knows he's a part of this moment.
Yes.
He is, in a way, narrating this scene.
He's like, while Michael Grady and Jim Peterson do one of the best jobs in the world at doing local broadcasts for the Timberwolves, he's not certain they've got this moment. He's going to narrate it. Shout out to my guys, Grady and Jim Pete. Number two, there's a brief moment where he eventually like is overcome by the moment and he goes and celebrates everything. But Monty Morris, if you check it out, as soon as the dunk happens, it's in the upper left-hand corner. Monty Morris looks like he just walked into a crime scene that he didn't know was happening. Because he steps in and then jumps out of the frame. Like, almost he walked into a bank robbery.
Right.
And before they notice that he had walked into the bank, he jumps out of it. He's like, I gotta go. And then, like, starts flexing, starts screaming, runs over to Ant, runs over to Kyle Anderson, like all that, like just starts celebrating, right? As Ant is like, I gotta pop my finger back into this joint.
God.
But Monty Morris, its initial jump into the scene, out of the scene, is so,
so funny to me.
And then Kyle Anderson is the first person to ever see a ghost murder somebody. Like, it's like, it wasn't just a crime, it was a paranormal crime that he walked in. Like, he is beside himself. He is so overcome by the moment that I think he goes to check on John Collins to make sure he's alive. Like, he He doesn't go to Ant. He puts his hand on the side of his head like Kevin McAllister, but then walks over to John Collins. I think to like, you want to see a dead body? Like, I need to know if this guy's alive.
If there's a, you know, if we did this like the Oscars, Kyle Anderson's best supporting. Like, he's right. He is so important to that dunk. The people going, this is my lock screen. You were posting it on Twitter. Everybody should follow Zach at Talk Hoops. There's just the he makes, as you think about what makes a moment special, and you think about all the things that will last, the images here are going to matter. And that reaction from Kyle is special. It's additive, and I appreciate you bringing it up. There are two other things that I want to talk about. One is the thing I'm so excited to share with you. It's going to change everyone's lives. I sometimes I'll say that type of thing and I'll be joking. I'm not joking about this. It's going to change your life when I reveal this. But before that, you also mentioned, I wrote this down in my little notes and then never commented on it. When Ant is falling from the block, if you rewatch the block and you see him, there's a little moment. He hits his shoulders hit the foam on the backboard. His head hits the rim. His hand is top of the box. And then he starts falling. And there's that moment where he goes from, I'm going up, I'm going to block this shot. And then all of a sudden, because of the impact, his trajectory gets turned downwards. You can see that split second where he's weightless and he's falling. And he starts moving his hands and his legs in almost like a cartoonish, like, I got to start flapping my arms here. To fly because I'm realizing there's nothing underneath me and I'm about to crash. There's great audio from, if you're on YouTube, again, we'll put clips on our social at First Ballot Pod on Twitter, at First Ballot HOF on Instagram. I realize those should be the same. There's great Nat sound audio from the dunk of Anthony Edwards' body crashing into the hardwood.
Yeah.
It's all just absolutely lovely. And I think the thing that's interesting here is I just made the argument that him landing, Rex Chapman actually started the argument, but I'm doubling down on it, that him landing after the dunk elevates the dunk. But as I mentioned earlier, the balance on these two moments is so perfect because I'd argue him crashing on the block makes that better.
You know what's great about that? As you're saying that, I was thinking like, he only had a plan to block this shot.
That's right.
He had no idea what was going to happen after
that. That's right.
He like that's in God's hands at that point, right? Like once the shot is blocked, he's out of ideas.
That's
like,
right.
Like he never prepared for this part of it, which is what makes those play. Like Vince Carter had this quote, and it kind of applies here. He's like, it's not the jumping that hurts, right? Like dunking over and over and over. It's not like that's not the hard part of dunking. The hard part is landing, right? Ugh. Like the hard part is like is the toll, the force coming down to the ground with all of your weight and just all of those physics working against you. And that's where like the athleticism hurts and the dunking hurts. It's not the actual dunks itself. It's not jumping up. It's the landing. He is crashing.
Yes.
Like he is movers. We're trying to put a piano on the third floor and it fell down and crashed the sidewalk. Like that is what it is, right? Like that, there's no grace to it. And yet it's so graceful. Like to your point and to Rex's point, like I want people to do this safely if they can.
Yeah.
Go jump off 2 feet. Go jump off 2 feet and then try to just land on one.
Mm-hmm.
And the balance that takes and like, look, I'm not telling you to go try to grab the rim and do that. Just jump straight up in the air and land on one leg.
Just do
jump
it.
Jump off
in your
two,
house.
Land on one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard.
It's hard.
It's not like it's
that's
it's
a
not
great
easy.
Point. That you just said two things that I absolutely love. One, just jump on off 2 feet and land on one. I can feel the pain in my ankle and I have not done it. I'm sitting here. I can imagine it and I'm getting the pangs of pain through my lower leg, just thinking about it. And then I couldn't agree with you more. You are absolutely right. It is apparent when he jumps to make that play that all he was thinking about was, God, I have to block this shot. Yeah. And then you realize he had thrown all caution to the wind and everything else is in God's hands. You are exactly right. Caution to the wind.
Yeah. Because he's a winner. He's a win, right? Like, so he's like, I got to go make this winning play. But there's also, especially in the block, there's the shame of, I just missed this free throw.
Yes. Yes.
I can't, like, I can't, I've screwed this up. Yep. I can't screw it up anymore. Yep. Right? There, like, there's, I don't want to call it a panic, but it's a, it, like, he's got a, there's a redemption that he's after in that play, not just to win the game, but to, like, I almost, like, I may have screwed this up.
And you can see it as he gets to just in front of the three-point line as he's getting back on defense because, and he said this in an interview, that he was looking for his guy. And then when he realized that Halliburton threw that hit-ahead pass and that Neesmith Euros Conley to get to the basket, you see him at the three-point line go, oh, shit, I got to put this thing in gear and get to the basket. And you're right. Yeah. That fall is just very obvious that all he was thinking was, is can I make this play, and was not considering what would be the ramifications if I do.
Yeah. Ugh. No. And your point about weightlessness is so great. Like, have you ever been skydiving?
No, God, no.
I went once. Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
I can imagine.
I have a trained skydiver who had like over 6 million jumps or whatever attached to my back. This guy who knew what he was doing, and we're up in the plane and he's like, all right, we got our turn. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go. I changed my mind. Like, I'll land with the plane. I'm good. Like, and he's like, no, come on. We're going to go. We're going to go to the, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. You're going to put your head back. You're going to, you know, kick your feet up, you know, back behind you, blah, blah, blah. And we're going to go. And I was like, no, I don't want to go. He goes, nah, we're going to go. And he like just forces me to, and we jump. He like does 1, 2, 3. And like, no one Mississippi two. No, right. Just 1, 2, 3, like out the door. And there's this moment of weightlessness.
Yes.
Where until, like, at least for me, in the one time I've done it, I'm not an expert, but the one time I did it, until the chute gets pulled,
right,
it doesn't feel like there's this reality of jumping out of the plane that is terrifying. I mean, I can't even imagine the scream that I yelled out. And I know I yelled one. Like, the most guttural scream you can ever imagine. Probably sounded like a small child. I would be embarrassed to hear that sound. But then once that moment is out and you're just falling, it doesn't feel real. And I would imagine that peak, that initial part of weightlessness before he realizes what's happening is similar to that. Like, he went skydiving on a block shot.
Oh my God, I love it. Ugh. The are you ready for me to change your life now?
Yes.
Are the fans ready? I'm presuming that you're all nodding your head. Listen to this. This is the type of thing that I, Neil, do. This is what I bring to this show. This is what this show exists for. Is for me to dive into the tape of these moments, Zapruder film this thing, and figure it out. And I figured it out, Zach.
Okay.
There is one common thread through both the block and the dunk over John Collins. There's one constant, and it's not Anthony Edwards making an amazing play. There's one thing that's exactly the same.
Okay.
You brought him up earlier. Jalen Clark is wearing the exact same Spivder hoodie. He's wearing the exact same hoodie on the sidelines because he's not playing. I think maybe Jalen Clark not playing and wearing that hoodie unlocks something in these games for Anthony Edwards. Maybe you're laughing. Maybe you're not laughing, which would be worse. I think you need to consider that maybe this is true. Jalen Clark, Spivder. I don't know how you say that. I've never heard of that.
Am I right? It's a brown hoodie?
That's right.
Yeah.
He's wearing it in both games, which I think is very day class A, as someone that will only be photographed wearing one outfit once and then I retire it forever.
Well, yeah, we all know that about you. That's a Neil Gasol special
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Where do you guys think Allen Iverson got the idea of he doesn't travel with clothes, he just buys an outfit and leaves it in the hotel? Like, that's Neil all the way, man. Like, yeah, that's
so listen, I hate to put Jalen Clark on blast here and point out that he's got one $300 hoodie that he wears everywhere. That's not what this is about.
I'm saying.
But let's be fair. He's on a two-way, which is still a lot of money, but he's on a two-way.
Okay.
You know, like you're packing light on the road. It was on the road for both games, right? Was it in Indianapolis or was that in Minnesota? I don't remember the block was, but
great question. I think let me look that up because you're right. Because we're getting to something. I think we're forgetting something. So we know he's in Utah. He's in Indianapolis. Yeah. Okay. He's on the road for both.
War on the road. Yeah.
They are 9 days apart. Is there a world where Jalen Clark packs the Spivder hoodie? I don't know if I'm saying that right. It feels very crazy to say it that way. Is there a scenario where he packs light, he packs the Spivder hoodie, and it just goes with him? It stays in the bag. It goes with him. Maybe it's not important. In my head, the Spivder hoodie is important.
No,
maybe
no.
The amulet that unlocks these moments from Ant. But there's also maybe a path where he's on a road trip. He packs light, one bag. You know, he doesn't want to be carrying multiple bags. And maybe the Spivder hoodie is like a good all-purpose thing, and maybe it's not magical.
You mentioned maybe on Twitter that block feels like it was 2 months ago.
Yeah, right. I know.
Like, it does. Know. Like you said it on Twitter, and I thought like, oh, he messed that up. And then you mentioned it here, and I just like went to look and like, yeah, it happened 9 days ago.
That's right.
What?
That's right.
That's insane to me. Yeah, like they're on a long road trip. That was the beginning of the road trip. This is the end of the road trip. He's on a two-way. I don't want you to be out on this limb alone. So I will also say Spivder. This Spivder hoodie is a staple of Jalen Clark's. Because we're friends, right? So I'm not gonna let you be out there on your own.
I'll be out there on that branch with you.
Yeah, I think we're both on this branch like Nathan Fielder at the end of The Curse. Spoiler alert! But we're there. We're there. We're holding on, right? I think he was just like he had to recycle some things. They were in Utah. Probably got a little laundry done from the team manager on this long road trip. It was like, you know what? I love this. Yeah. Spivder hoodie.
Yeah.
It brought us luck at the beginning of the road trip. It's gonna bring us luck at the end of the road trip. I'm here for it.
I just looked it up. The Indiana game, March 7th. It was the first road game of this road trip.
Yeah.
It was the first game of this long road
trip.
Crazy. Utah is the last game of this long road trip. It's now apparent to me that Jalen Clark is an efficient packer. He's not wasteful. He's not into fast fashion. He doesn't want to just buy a bunch of clothes and ruin the environment. He cares about people. He cares about children and their futures. I appreciate that he packed a Spivder sweatshirt that he loves. He decided to get multiple wears out of it. I'm not. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's totally fine. I'm now not. Yeah. I want Jalen to know I'm not making fun of you. I'm with you.
No.
I appreciate what you're doing. I need you to answer the question of whether you believe that Spivder hoodie is the amulet that unlocks these games. Do you believe that that sweatshirt might be the thing that caused both of these amazing plays?
Yeah, here's the thing, all right? They play they play in Denver on March 29th.
Right.
They really need to win that game, right? Like they've got a bunch of games with Denver the rest of the season. They're still trying to get the one seed. If Jalen Clark does not wear this Spivder hoodie in Denver on March 29th.
Right. Yep.
I don't want to be harsh, but I think they should cut him.
Yeah. I know. You're right. You made a really great point. The jury is out. We do not know. To your point, we need to test this theory. Jalen Clark needs to bring out that Spivder hoodie to one of these Denver games and see if it makes another difference.
Yeah, let me say this.
Yeah.
If he wears the Spivder hoodie, which now I can't stop saying, I'm going to say the rest of the day. Spivder hoodie.
It's a lot of
I don't
fun.
Even know how to. I couldn't even begin to attempt spelling what you're saying. I've never heard this word before, and I assume there's literally the number five somewhere in the middle
That's
there.
Right.
But this Spivder hoodie. If he wears it on March 29th in Denver, and Ant jumps over Jokic and dunks on Aaron Gordon in the same play, the Minnesota Timberwolves will win the NBA championship this year. I guarantee it. That is a Zach Harper guarantee right there. I've never been more sure of anything.
I'm so happy that we're out in front of this, because if this is what it's, I admit there is a very, very healthy chance that the Spivder hoodie is just an article of clothing. But what if it's not? What if in Denver he wears the Spivder hoodie and jumps over Jokic, and then the Timberwolves win the title, and Zach is right and I'm right, and we called it. We will be the first people to put our flag on this moon. It's us. We're the astronauts, Zach.
Ant is Superman. This Spivder hoodie, this brown Spivder hoodie that owned by Jalen Clark, is the sun. Like, that is where he gets his powers from.
That's right. Yeah.
This blew my mind. I can't believe he's wearing the same hoodie.
Same hoodie. And I only know, you mentioned how integral Jalen Clark is to the dunk footage, and that's where I saw him. And it was only in rewatching the block. You do not notice Jalen Clark wearing the Spivder hoodie on the block. You notice the Jalen Clark Spivder hoodie when Ant is cooking towards the back end of the fourth quarter. That's when you see Jalen Clark a ton. If you want to go rewatch clips, Jalen Clark Spivder hoodie, brown. You're exactly right. White Spivder, SP5DER. And there's a there's like a spider web that's part of the logo, but I don't know why it says there's, I don't know why there's a number five there. I think it must be Spive
for Ant. Is it Ants?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Who knows? It might be his line of clothes. I don't know.
Oh, here, look. I just found it. I Googled it. It came up. I knew this was like a thing that people would know because it was on goat.com, and I understand that that's a cool thing. Oh,
goats. Yeah, that's where you get stuff.
Spivder. I need to hear someone talk about this. Spivder is a streetwear brand founded by Young Thug.
Okay. Yes.
Fivder features familiar thugger motifs. Yes. This has all been written. I would never say these things. Launched in 2019, Spivder features familiar thugger motifs from rhinestones to spider webs across hoodies, t-shirts, trucker hats, and more. Today, the label is known for its irregular drop schedule. That's the killer. Listen, that's part of our brand, baby. We don't know
it's ready when it's ready, man. Yeah. I can't tell you. Yeah.
The irregular drop schedule, as it is for its eccentric design language, Spivder. I have to assume it's called Spivder.
Wow. Wow.
On GOAT, they're looking like $200 hoodies, between $200 and $300 hoodies. I'll never spend $300 for a hooded sweatshirt. But mazel tov to Jalen Clark for having the money to do it.
Look, I would never put ourselves out there like this. But if Spivder wanted to send us, I wouldn't be mad at it. You know, like it's, I wouldn't send it back.
Listen, just hold on. Let me grab the wheel here for a second, Zach, because you've hit me to the realization that this is a business opportunity for the both of us. Yep. What we have done, Young Thug, the Thugger Nation, and Spivder, is we have set your brand apart. You are now not just known for your irregular drop schedule and your wild brand aesthetic, but it's also for they're the magical amulet powers that it gives basketball players.
Look, we're friends. I love you. I can't imagine they wanted it framed like Thugger Nation. I can't imagine that's the branding that they're looking for.
Be that as it may,
I'm new to the brand. There was a 2-year period where Nike and Jordan Brand were just sending me shoes, and I couldn't figure out why. But it's the best 2 years of my life. I never questioned. And then it just stopped one day because I think they realized. I think I was Milton in Office Space. They just realized like, oh no, this is an accounting error. And then they stopped, and I never asked why. But there was a 2-year, and it was the best. Getting free stuff is literally the best thing that can happen to you.
We have to make sure that Spivder hears this. What we've done. We are. essentially, we're like the Wieden Kennedy for Spivetor. We are like marketing geniuses for these people. I think there's a chance. I believe Spivetor should get out ahead of this. It's just something to think about. And then, guys, again, if you want to throw us some free merch, we'll wear it.
Whatever.
Zach has a popular social media accounts. I do not. I don't even have the same handle as on my accounts. It's a long story. It's a long story, but I will wear them. I love free things. I'll wear them. And then if you want to sponsor Cinephobe, you want to sponsor this show, by all means, Spivetor, we're willing to talk. Thugger Nation, get at me.
Thugger Nation, come get us.
We are, God knows how long we are into this episode. Let's move on. Let's move on to the next credential. It's the ear test. What did we hear in this moment? I'm going to play the calls. Here to start is the call from the dunk. We'll go in chronological order. This is the call for the block. Let's listen to it together.
Edwards can't hit the second. Pacers have a chance. On. Up ahead, Nesmith. Block! Edwards getting up, and good night.
I've seen them all, and I have not seen a game like this. This was really special. Rick Carlisle deciding not to go and call a timeout and advance the basketball. He wanted to go in a broken floor situation. And, I mean, Anthony Edwards.
He hit his head under the backboard.
He hit his head under the backboard.
I love any time you can hear an announcer. He's realizing at the same time we are. It's like a communal moment for us to all appreciate this together, because he's going, oh, like he was about to say, oh shit, or oh my God. And I was the same way. The first time you see it, you go, oh my God, he hit his, like that all happened at the same moment together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, shout out to Michael Grady. It is a great realization. And I love the, because I don't even know what I would do. I mean, obviously I'm not a broadcaster, but I don't know what I would do in that moment. But like, he just block. Good night. Like, that's so funny to me. It reminds me of, I'm throwing out way too many references, but it reminds me of the movie Major League 2, where Bob Uecker passes out. He's drunk and he passes out, and so it's left to Monty, the guy who never talks, the production assistant / color commentator. And he goes, fly ball, caught. Because he's so nervous. That's
I love Major League, and I don't remember. You said it's Major League 2. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, it was Major League 2.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. That's really funny. No, I love the references. Yeah. Keep making them. You're the cinephobe guy. The call on the dunk is – also, I think we're looking for uniformity and balance between these moments. The call on both is great, and they're both highlighted by just the, guttural isn't the right word, but the richness of the tone of the announcer's voice. What's his name again? I'm not familiar with.
Michael Grady.
Michael Grady.
Yeah.
There's something about his reaction, his loud reaction in both of these plays is lovely. Let's listen to the dunk call. This is again from last night. The dunk call. Here it is.
Another turnover for Utah. Edwards gets it back.
From the rafters is really good.
From the rafters is great. Can I just a little quick mini rant? It's come up a couple of times in me discussing this and people sending DMs and stuff. I watched this dunk 150 times last night, right? I couldn't stop watching it. I put in the newsletter, like all this stuff, right? At no point in any of those moments where I watch the replay and you know what's happening and you've seen it and you're just watching every angle, at no point did I think to myself, well, it's not technically a dunk.
Right.
He threw it in.
Right.
Excuse me for the indelicate language I'm about to use. I don't know if you need to bleep it. I don't know if you can keep it in. But someone DM'd me, hey, so-and-so was right. It's not a dunk. He threw it in. And my response was, who gives a fuck? At no point did I think, I wonder if that's a dunk. Yeah. I wonder, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Who cares?
He jumped into a human being, hit him in the face with his offhand so hard, it injured both parties.
Yeah.
He dislocated his finger. John Collins left the game.
Left the game.
Did not come back.
That's right.
We didn't know. Did he have a concussion? It was a contusion that Shams later like cleared up. But I've never seen a play where both players are in a highlight and they both get injured.
Yes.
And at no point did I think, oh, you know, his hand doesn't really touch the rim there. That's not really, who cares? Who cares? It's a dunk. It's throwing it down. It's a thrunk. Whatever you want to call it. I don't care. I just want to watch the play again.
I've never
I didn't come up with that. I think I want to say, I want to credit J.E. Skeets. For some reason, I feel like he invented that, but I could be wrong, wow. But I don't know.
Thrunk yeah. is, I really enjoy thrunk. I want to address this, was this thing a dunk? The answer to that question is unequivocally yes. It's a dunk. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. if you make the argument that it's not a dunk, what you're doing is working off old dated information. It would mm-hmm. be like going, well, it's like, well, the planet is, I mean, now I'm like realizing we're moving into Kyrie territory.
You're like, where this is going.
You're like, well, the planet, it's flat. Like it's, you're going to drive off the edge of this thing. If you get to the end of this ocean, you're going to drive off, you're going to fall off the planet. Because you don't know. It's fine. Because at the time, everybody was like, it is flat. When they established what a dunk was, they didn't realize that someone could do what Blake Griffin and now Anthony Edwards can do, which is get so high, jump from so far away that you attempt a dunk and maybe your hand never actually connects with the rim. But the truth is you were dunking that ball. The intention is clearly mm-hmm. there. The motion is clearly there. You're just, they makes the basket. You're just missing a half, you know, quarter inch of space between the hand and the ball. He is dunking that ball, and the only reason you think it might not be a dunk is because you're working off of old dated information. That's final, not up for debate.
Also, you're being a nerd. Just enjoy the play. God.
Let's move on, Zach. Test of time. This is when we compare mm-hmm. our moment against other moments like this. This is all you. I'm throwing you everything here. You got to carry this. Let's start with the block.
Yeah.
Let's just compare this against other game-winning or close to game-winning blocks and decide, mm-hmm. is this the best game-winning block? Because, again, as we're looking at this moment, deciding if he goes into the first ballot Hall of Fame, we have to decide, are there other plays like this that are better and or definitely in the first ballot Hall of Fame or going into the first ballot Hall of Fame? And if we can answer yes to that, does it reduce the candidacy? Does it lower the chances that this makes it in? Here we go. The block. Is Anthony Edwards' block better than Giannis's block on DeAndre Ayton in the finals?
No. Okay. I would say even from a, like, let's take the situation out of it, right? Let's do it. Like, if you remember, like, Giannis is covering a pick and roll.
Yes.
Turns and jumps up and blocks. Like, he couldn't have known. Like, he had an idea of what was going on, but like couldn't have known that Ayton was where he and just turns and like a physical standpoint. Like, no, it doesn't hit his head on the backboard in the rim or anything like that. But to cover a pick and roll in that manner and recover and block the hoop, that's insane.
Insane. Yeah. We did this episode. I did this episode with Michael Starbury, screenwriter, phenomenal guest. Listen to the episode.
Amazing. Yeah,
he loved it. I loved it. And part of the reason that block is Giannis's block is already in the first ballot Hall of Fame is because of the stakes, because it was in the finals, because it was a pivotal play in that finals, but also because you could, in theory, point to that play and go, that is Giannis's announcement that this guy is going to dominate the league for years to come. And yes, now Jokic exists and maybe Giannis isn't where we all thought he might be, but he's top of the mountain. Like, this is an announcement of his peak. He's here for a while. He is there. He's a phenomenal player. That's already in the first ballot Hall of Fame. Okay, so we have to compare those moments. We have to think about if Giannis is already in, are we going to let Ant in? Go ahead, please.
Real quick on the honest thing of like where he is now and everything. Yeah. We could not have anticipated that Doc Rivers would become his coach. So like that's not fair to him. It's not fair to him.
I took a drink of water just as you were saying that. That's the devil.
There was a part of it as I started saying I saw you start to take a drink of water. Terrible. And I thought, oh, I wonder if he's going to spit this.
Terrible.
Out.
Could ruin my fucking laptop, you SOB. Is Ant's dunk better than Bam Adebayo's dunk on Tatum? I'm sorry.
The block.
The block on Tatum. Sorry.
No, man. That's that was that was I actually watched that highlight the other day for some reason. I think also came up on a TikTok algorithm about 2 a.m. That is, you forget, like, I mean, Tatum was punching that thing. He wasn't like barely. He ripped that thing back. Yes. He just punched that home.
Yes.
And Bam, I'm assuming, broke his wrist. Like, I like, there's no, I don't know how your ligaments and your bones hold together in that moment. Like, that is it's not better than that.
Yeah. There's I couldn't agree with you more. There's no way you're
I don't even think you have to put the game situation into it.
I agree.
I think it's a better block.
That ball is kind of technically on its way down. Like, his hand is full back because Tatum is boofing that. Like, he is sticking that thing. It is. Mm-hmm. There's no way his metacarpals come out of that thing unscathed. I completely agree with you. And then it's for sure not better than LeBron's block, right?
No.
All right, so this is something we have to consider here. Yeah. There's three blocks that we know is better. Listen, all four of them can make it into the First Ballot Hall of Fame. I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying, as we get serious about this, we have to consider, is there other competition? It sounds like you've got something you want to say. What is it?
What about Tayshaun Prince on Reggie Miller?
Is this even the best block against the Pacers?
So what I would say is that moment is above it because of scenario,
right?
Because of it's in the playoffs, but chasing down an old man and blocking his shot is not exactly the most incredible athletic feat. But the scenario, the environment, that makes it above this block.
Also, isn't he pretty high too? Like, would you be shocked if I told you his arm is up by the box as well?
No, because he's super tall, super lanky. Yes. Like, that would not shock me. Yeah.
It's a lot, but to it think is an about. Old man. All right, dunk. Yeah. Let's talk about the dunk. Test of time dunk. Are you certain that Anthony Edwards' dunk on John Collins? Are you certain that dunk is better than any of Blake Griffin's rookie year dunks? The Mozgov, the Perkins.
I think it's
the
better
Pau
than
Gasol.
I think it's better than Perk. It's tough because the one on Pau. What really makes it for me is Pau's reaction after.
I don't like this. Edit this out, Rob.
Pau looks like.
Rob, if you could edit this out.
He got hit by a truck and didn't see it coming. Right? Like.
Rob, you could just beep
him. The Mozgov one. We'll pick this up, Rob. Mozgov. The Mozgov dunk. The Mozgov one. I think people forget. In the middle of the dunk, Blake checks him for lice. Like, Blake is checking his head for lice in the middle of a dunk, which is insane. It's as insane as Aaron Gordon sitting down in the middle of a dunk in the dunk contest, right? Yeah, like, it's just like, God. So I think it's better than the Perk one. The reaction of Pau tickles me, even though I love Pau, but the reaction of Pau tickles me. I'll put it above the Pau one. It's not better than the Mozgov one.
Right.
Yeah.
So again, we're establishing a hierarchy here.
Yeah.
Mozgov better. I think I agree with you. You tweeted opening night of the season, Malik Monk. Do you remember this dunk? Malik Monk.
Oh, yeah.
Opening game of the season again in Utah, which again, bonus points for boofing all over those Mormons. Malik Monk gets that drop-off pass from De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
Yanks it back and just smashes it on, I think, Chris Dunn.
Yes.
Great dunk. You said, could this be the dunk of the year on opening night? That's what you tweeted about opening night. Are you certain that Anthony Edwards' dunk is better than that Malik Monk dunk?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Although, again, aftermath. Let's take the celebration and everything that happens in Utah away from the Ant dunk. I believe Chris Dunn pushes Malik Monk.
Yes.
Anytime you dunk on someone and that person pushes you, like, that's an added bonus.
That's
like,
what I'm talking about.
Because the Chris Dudley Shaq one, right? The fact that Chris Dudley throws the ball at Shaq is just it makes the moment even better.
Yes. It's you mad. It's that you see the hurt. Yeah. You see the anger. He can't hold it back for a second.
Yes.
That actually reminds me of what I wanted to say. When we were talking about the announcers and we were talking about them yelling and that and Grady getting up, I can't believe he can yell that loud without swearing. If I start yelling at that level, I'm swearing.
It's why I know I can never truly be an announcer. Yeah. Like, there's part of me that thinks like, man, it'd be so fun. Right. I would love to be a color commentator and get it. I wouldn't be able to hold myself in those moments.
It'd be impossible. How could you possibly watch either of these plays, get that ramped up because it's your job, and not let a motherfucker out? It's amazing. This
Puritan society and the FCC need to go. Okay, let us enjoy sports in the way they're intended.
Hell yeah.
With swear words.
Hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I completely agree with you. Well said. Last question, test of time. Are you certain that Ant's dunk was even the best dunk of the night? We also had Jalen Johnson on Austin Reeves. I think they're calling it the Johnson in your face dunk. He damn near jumps over Austin Reeves in a live game. Great stills out of that one. I mean, very funny stills, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
Crazy dunk. Is Ant's dunk better than Jalen Johnson's?
100%. Okay. Like, I mean, you know how I know. And it's a great dunk. It's a great dunk. And I was someone who was like, hey, Jalen Johnson, like my favorite guy, not my favorite guy, but like one of my favorite guys in that draft. And then he didn't play. And I was like, man, I was really wrong about Jalen Johnson. He gets to play this year. I feel vindicated. Yeah. Like, this isn't like many of the wrong guy, like me believing in Kirk Snyder or Courtney Alexander as much as I did. Right. Like, this is like real vindication. And no one talked about it. People were like, oh shit, Jalen Johnson jumped over Austin Reed. But no, everyone's talking about this dunk, and that's why. Yeah.
The crazy thing about the Jalen Johnson dunk, first play of the game. I mean, first basket of that game to dunk that first. But I agree with you. I think Ant's is better. Okay. All right. We've established that. Let's move on to the next category. Mm-hmm. It's the press conference. Any great quotes about these moments from these guys, from the participants? For sure, here's Ant after the block. Again, we'll go chronological order. Here's what Ant said after the block.
Yeah, I hit my head, I think, on the rim. It's hurting real bad. And I landed on my wrist. But, I mean, you know, I saw him with the lane. I knew he was going for the layup. And I was just like, man, I'm finna go get this. I ain't never jumped that high in my life.
It's a horse race between I ain't never jumped that high in my life and him saying it hurt real bad is so funny and sweet and hysterical.
I love that. I'm finna go get this. Like to me, like there's, I mean, he's, you know, he's a Georgia kid. Yeah. My dad's from Georgia. Like there's just something about that twang that as you're giving real analysis, that I just love so much.
He's so authentic. Everything about him feels like this is who I am. This is how I talk. These are the things I say. And it really elevates any Ant moment whenever he gets to talk about whatever the hell happened. Even when he's talking about, I'm sure you saw this, they were asking about his deceleration on his Euro, and he gave credit to Luka Garza. Did you see that clip?
Yeah.
There's just something about the way he, for him to not be like, oh, I didn't even do that. That's like, I saw Luka do it. No. And blah, blah. It's just, he's so candid and real. And it makes me appreciate everything because it feels like I'm watching this guy and he's not putting on any airs. This is who he is. And I love it. This is what Ant says post game to the sideline reporter as they ask Ant to rewatch the dunk from the game. Here's Ant.
Blast, nigga. Oh my God. Hey, that's my best dunk of my career. I'm not gonna lie.
You got some good ones.
I couldn't even react because I dislocated my finger. You can see it?
On your left hand, I couldn't react too.
I wish I could react.
Fantastic.
I'm of the opinion that it is impossible for athletes, any human, doesn't matter, to sound cool. Like, it's impossible for them to sound cool yelling, let's go.
Yeah.
I think it sounds so awful. No one ever has the right tone. They don't have the right bass in their voice when they do it. Like, it just doesn't sound good, but everyone does it. And I always laugh and just think, like, that's not the moment you thought it was going to sound like.
Yeah.
But him going, or whatever that noise is that he makes is the opposite of that. It sounds so meek and yet so visceral, you know?
I won't use the N-word.
Yeah.
But him using the N-word there to me is like, I don't care that I'm ruining your broadcast. And I mean, I think they dumped it from the TV broadcast, but I appreciate that he's like, I don't really give a shit about your broadcast. Like, I'm just enjoying this thing in the moment. And that's what I want to say. That's what I would say. And I'm saying it right now. That's what makes his stuff. That's what makes sometimes the best highlights of his highlights are him watching the highlights after the fact.
And it's what I love about like any player, but specifically like when Luka's in a walk off interview after a game and everything, and he swears, and it's like, yeah, because that's how people talk, and he's exhausted and he's feeling still like emotions and all this stuff of everything that comes through. Like, yeah, that's how people talk. That's like you, like, I get it. You don't want kids and you hear that all, but like also like their parents are saying it around them, and yeah, they're gonna hear it. And I don't really have a problem with athletes in the moment doing it.
You sent me a clip last night. I'm gonna say it was 1:30 or 2 in the morning. You sent me a clip of Ant walking out of the arena signing some shoes.
Now, tell
everybody if they haven't seen the clip. I presume you've seen the clip, but if you haven't seen it, the audio's not great. It's even worse than the one I just played. What happens in that moment? You tell us.
So it's him walking off the court. It's Ant walking off the court. He's got his jersey on. Kids are asking for his shoes. You know, hey, can I have your shoe? Like, it happens at the end of every basketball game that's ever existed, right? Hey, can I have your shoes? And he says, oh, this is my first time wearing, you know, he's breaking them in, like, not going to give those shoes. Players usually wear them a few times and then give them away, right? And then he says, can I have your jersey? And he says, no, I've got to give that to Collins.
Right.
Or Collins is getting my jersey.
Yes.
Right? So we all think.
Yes.
John Collins, like he dunked on John Collins, knocked him out of the game, won the game, and is now going to give his jersey. I didn't know if it was shit talking. Yes. I didn't know if it was genuine.
Right.
But I laughed so hard.
Yes.
Intrepid reporter for The Athletic, Tony Jones, cleared up in a tweet that I saw this morning. He was giving it to Colin Sexton, another Georgia kid who he is friends with.
Oh, so damn it.
So he maybe says Collins, but he meant Colin Sexton.
Damn it.
According to Tony Jones. Now we can. Here's what we can do. We can decide to not believe it. We can decide to believe what we want to believe.
Right.
I'm good either way. It almost ruined my morning. I saw it about 10 minutes before we got on here. It almost ruined my morning. And I'm good either way. I can flush that out of the system. And we can believe whatever we want to believe here.
We are, Zach and I are choosing to stand together and to say he's making a joke there. And that's why we're going to say that that's additive here. Okay. I'm glad that we figured that out. Okay. The next credential, posterized. Great images. Are there any great images from this? From the dunk, I don't know. What are there 25 great images of this dunk? Are there 30 great images of this dunk? From the leap off to the reactions to the stills that you can pull from video, they're all phenomenal. I mean, there's the key shot that everyone's posting literally looks like a poster. It's like straight out of my bedroom as a kid. It's like a perfect goddamn poster.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, I could not find a great still of the block, and it must be because camera guys were like, "Oh, he's not gonna. This isn't really a moment where he's gonna make a play." I couldn't really find a great still of block. Have you seen one?
Not really. No, I've seen a bunch of like bad screenshots of pausing of live video and everything. You know, like everything's grainy.
Right.
But no, I mean the pics of the dunk almost look AI at this point, right? Yeah. Like it almost doesn't look real. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if something like the posterized credential, if that singular credential ends up swinging the decision here at the finish line, the next credential, devil's advocate, I'm going to try and really attack both of these moments. Okay. I've got something I feel like can really deflate both of these. I want to give them to you and get your reaction first.
Okay.
Ant missed the free throw. He only had to make the block because he missed the free throw. He fucked up. And so the block isn't as impressive because you're making up for your own fuck up. You brought that up earlier. I'm making the argument now. Does that affect you at all? Does that make you remove any points?
I can't even tell you how many times in my life I've dropped my phone and it's landed on my foot. Instead of crashing into the ground and shattering the screen, we saved it. You know, like we saved it, you know, Spider-Man can drop a bunch of stuff. Yeah. He's still going to catch it.
That's right.
No, it's not going to poke a hole in that for me.
Okay. the block. Jaden McDaniels gives Ant a little bit of an impact boost. It's not all Ant levitation. He jumps. Jaden McDaniels is there. They bump each other, and that lifts him up even higher, and that propels him into the backboard and into the rim, which makes him fall. So it's partly Jaden McDaniels' impact that takes away from the physical marvel of it. Does that remove any points from you?
I still enjoy that Tom Chambers dunk over Mark Jackson
a
lot.
Yeah, right.
Yes. So no, like that's it, okay, it, look, I, it bothers me well, in a dunk contest where guys right. jump over someone but yes. push off their shoulder, yes. which I'm not doubting is hard right. and difficult right. to pull off.
Yes.
It doesn't look as cool. I understand that. That's not happening in this situation for me.
Okay, I got it. That's yeah. well played. Really well done. We did a lot of devil's advocate work on the dunk. We talked about the Jalen Johnson dunk. We discussed mm-hmm. whether this is, can you even be labeled a dunk? The answer to that is absolutely yes. One more attack against the block. When I saw the block, I went, oh, that's the play of the year. I mean, short of yeah. the regular season, that's the play of the regular season. That is, will be the highlight that I remember this season by.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kyrie hit the left-hander. Is Kyrie's left-hander the new play of the year? And if it is, does that take any points away from the block and Ant's candidacy?
Oh, man. I mean, Kyrie's left-hander is the play of the year.
Ungodly. Ah,
man, I mean, it's been broken down already so many times. Like, I can't even begin to tell you how difficult that shot
oh,
is.
Oh, my God.
And you can tell everything because right, reactions matter here, right?
Yep.
Reactions from the people on the court and the people involved and everything. You watch Luka burst into
yes.
laughter
yes.
when that shot
yes.
goes through. Like, the shot's already ridiculous. It's already an all-time Kyrie highlight, which is saying something, right? But the fact that Luka, who is top two, three, yep. four player in the world, wherever you want to put him,
yep.
does ridiculous stuff on the regular, is like, he can't help yep. but laugh.
Yep.
It's
You're
the exactly whole thing right. where, like, when Steph Curry's cooking, when Kevin Durant's cooking, when any of these great players are cooking, it's what I call horse noises. I just start doing this, right? They hit a ridiculous shot, and I just go, like, it's the only reaction I can have. And so, like, they're in horse noise mode, right? And that's what that is. That is Luka's version of that. Is he just like, his reaction was to laugh, not to go celebrate with his teammates. And it's not because he doesn't like Kyrie or the bad juju or anything like that. No, it's because he just did something so ridiculous that he started laughing. And that, I like, look, as great as this Ant thing is, it's not better than that. But I don't think you can hold a Kyrie highlight as a standard that then knocks other highlights down
okay.
because Kyrie is just on that level.
Yep.
Right?
Okay, that's fair. I appreciate you saying yeah. that. Here's yeah. the follow-up question. It's very important to me. Have you done horse noise mode before? Have you talked about horse
oh,
noise?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I've talked about that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've talked about it for years. Like, probably for it's since Curry, like, really started.
What a contribution
yeah.
to this planet. What a contribution. There will, Has I will,
really taken off other than no, me
it's going to take
it,
off with me.
Yeah.
I am fully behind that. There won't be a day where I won't go, that's horse noise. That's a horse. We're yeah. into horse noise. It is what it is. Yeah. It's well, he's horse noise in this thing right now. That's 100. Yeah. I'm using that. I'm keeping that. I'm taking that. It's mine. Perfect sentence.
Yeah.
Thank you. Let's go back to the clip that we started this episode with. Jason Bateman, Jesse Plemons, titans of their industry. Locked yeah. together in this one-on-one fierce battle. Plemons is at the top of his game. Bateman yeah. is going stone cold a-hole. He is right in the, it is a back and forth, it is a heavyweight fight.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get to see one of the two of them break and appreciate. But we get that when Luka goes, oh my God, he made that. And he falls to the floor and he's laughing.
Yeah.
You get to see them break. And in with great actors, you know, in other performances, you know, a conductor at an orchestra performance, nobody's like, holy shit. Like, they don't get to do that. But in basketball, yeah. you get to see it. Luka flipping out at that is a gigantic part of what makes Kyrie's left-hander so special.
There's no point in Maestro where Bradley Cooper's like, that cello's fucking going in. Like, this
yeah,
is
yeah,
I gotta
yeah.
start laughing. There's no point in that. Yeah.
Oh my God. The X factor, that's the next credential. Everybody knows what X factor is. Is there an X factor for you, Zach, in both of these moments? Let's start with a dunk. Let's flip it. Let's start with a dunk. Do you have an X factor for the dunk? Anything? Is there an X factor that makes this moment special?
It's Kyle Anderson. Like Kyle Anderson's reaction of full sheer surrender
Cobra.
Horror.
Yeah.
Full surrender Cobra goes, like, doesn't even go to Ant. He checks on John Collins. Like, that is, can you imagine, like, your teammate dunks on someone so hard that you go check on the opponent?
Yep. Yep.
That's incredible.
And that's my X factor is,
yeah,
John Collins getting, you mentioned it earlier, John Collins literally getting knocked out of, Anthony Edwards, for all intents and purposes, ejects John Collins from this game. He basically throws him out of the game. He simultaneously dunks on him and throws him out of the game for the rest of the night. He basically goes, you can't play anymore. You now cannot play anymore. I'm rendering you useless for the rest of the night. You cannot play anymore. You are out. You detail that Shams reported, quote, Utah's John Collins has suffered a head contusion. I'll keep going with the quote. Head contusion from play contesting Anthony Edwards' poster dunk tonight. Sources say head injury, but no concussion for Collins, unquote. Shams, I'm in the exact same spot with Shams as I was with Tony. I don't buy it.
Don't believe it?
I think there's a chance that I think there's a chance John Collins misses the next game. Because he's dizzy. I'll be interested to see if that happens. If he misses the next game, is there a chance that Utah and the Utah management is obfuscating here and want to save the embarrassment of Anthony Edwards dunking so hard on John Collins that he gave him a concussion?
I text this in a group chat and I didn't put it publicly, but I'll put it here because I trust you and I trust your audience. I don't want to sound insensitive, but it's kind of hilarious Collins might have a concussion from getting dunked on.
Like
15 years ago, this would somehow have made it to NFL Live's Jacked Up segment as, as, you know, Chris Berman and jacked Tom Jackson are up. Screaming and, you know, you got jacked up and everything. That's where it would be. We're not allowed to do that anymore. Concussions are serious. I've had a major concussion before. It's serious business. It's scary. Yes. Like, it's bad, right? Yes. At the same time, if you were going to get a concussion, being dunked on, giving you the concussion, not like you hit your head on the floor, you just got dunked on.
That's right.
It's kind of funny.
The facts are the facts. If there's a chance he has a concussion or had a concussion or enters into concussion protocol.
Very scary. It's tough.
Very serious. I hope that he's well. I'm not laughing at the fact that he may have a concussion.
No.
The concept of getting a concussion from a dunk.
That's what it is.
Absolutely hysterical.
Yes. Where you don't hit your head.
That's right.
That's the thing. Like, it's not like you challenge it and you fell to the ground your head on the ground.
That's right.
It's like he kind of stood his ground.
Right.
And that concept is what makes it
yes.
fun. Agree. That's an important way of phrasing it. Yes.
I'm completely with you. All right. The game-winning block. X factor in the game-winning block is there's something that helps the game-winning block that gives it a real chance of making the first ballot Hall of Fame.
I actually think it is the fall.
Yeah.
The fall is so reckless and kind of scary where I thought he was going to break his leg or bust his ankle or something. Because it reminds you of there's an aftermath to this great moment that could have gone really, really bad for them.
I talked about the balance of these two plays. Here's another instance. My X factor, John Collins getting injured, is my X factor for the dunk, for the block. And I didn't know this because I did not see this game live. But on the first play of this game, we talked about how Jalen Johnson dunked on Reeves in the first play of the Lakers game last night, first basket of the Hawks in last night's game. The first play of the Ant Timberwolves Pacers game where he has the block, Ants rolls his ankle on Aaron Nesmith's foot.
Yeah.
And I just found that out because I watched the game And you watch, he didn't like kind of tweak it or like, he really rolled the thing over.
Yeah.
And then ends up having 44 and a game saving block. If he had not played the rest of the game, no one would have blinked.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck?
And yet here we are. He might be indestructible.
The balance of these moments that they all have injury things, that they both have funny post-game quotes from him. The balance of it's like that fucking golden knife thing that Thanos uses. It's like perfectly. I'm not like a Marvel guy. Listen, I'm not a Marvel guy. I don't know what the hell that thing's called.
You're gonna get there. The people are so mad at you right now because you didn't know it was like the Mega Blade or whatever the fuck it's called.
What a good name. Punch it up, baby. The Omega Blade. I don't know what that thing's called, but it's like the perfect, it's like this thing is just perfectly teetering on this fulcrum. I do not know which way I'm going to go. The next credential is also for you calling it the Omega Blade. Just one second here for the Omega Blade.
Oh, hell yeah.
Fucking Omega Blade. Holy shit. The next credential, the voting committee, the first person to text me the night of the block, Nick Bernstein, senior vice president of Viacom, Paramount, something or other, something like that. He's a friend of mine, but a very important, very important credential. I can never remember. It's so goddamn long. Who can remember what the hell his title is?
Yeah.
Been on the show a bunch. He texted me right away and said, you have to do an emergency episode on the block. We held off because I knew Ant was going to have a world-class phenomenal dunk a week later, and we could compare these two with Zach Harper and have this dynamite episode. That's what we're doing now. I immediately went to Nick and said, why don't you be my voting committee today? This is the family of the show. Anybody else that wants to vote on this thing, here's what Nick had to say. He sent me a text, and I want to be clear, the words I'm about to read were written by Nick Bernstein. He wrote,
okay,
these are two unreal plays, and yet only one sealed a victory. And only one did Ant jump over his own teammate. He elevated to a height I've only ever seen in NBA Jam with the game on the line. It's got to be the block. Also, I, Neil, was wrong to have not included the Syracuse, Connecticut 6-overtime game in the first ballot Hall of Fame. I realize that now. It was foolish of me. I am a fool. This is Neil saying this. I stopped reading Nick's text a long time ago. I just thought of this completely off the top of my head as I was thinking of one incredible play worthy of induction, which is Ant's block, and felt like the only other thing I could compare it to is that epic game. I'm never wrong, but I was wrong that time. Also, I was probably wrong about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's performance in Airplane. That rocked my socks off. This is Neil for a second. I would never say that. That's how you know Nick wrote this. Back into Nick's text. Kind of like Ant's block. This is Neil off the top of the dome. I forgot for a second that Nick had even written me, even though he's my best friend, but I could never say that to his face. I'm too embarrassed to share my feelings that way. Anyway, what do you guys think? It's got to be the block, right? It doesn't matter what you think. It's my haul. Also, anyone remember that Bryce Drew game winner from the Valpo game in 98? Never mind. Don't answer that. That's all Nick Bernstein's writing.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you talk. So that, it sounds like you interjected there big time. I'm with Nick on this one, at least in terms of that 6-0. I mean, well, here's the problem. Well, I don't know Nick. I don't want to get on his bad side. He sounds like a very important, powerful man who, you know, I don't know what, you know, he's not really in my industry. He could help me out someday. Having to watch Syracuse basketball for more two halves is real tough. All right. So that makes it all right. Like
Thank
that. And there's a Johnny Flynn thing that I don't blame Johnny for. It's a David Kahn issue that I have, but it's, you know, it brings up bad memories. I don't want to ruin any potential friendship with Nick down the road with those comments.
Perfect response. Zach, it's time for America's favorite podcast segment. It's more important. I'm about to ask you a series of questions. Your answer to these questions are all far more important than any thing we've been talking about. They will define who you are as a person on this planet. Are you ready for more important?
Yes.
The music's playing. There's a clock ticking down. Not really, but go with it. What's your diner order, Zach? It's 1 a.m. Let's presume you've had a cocktail or two. You're not drunk.
Yeah.
You're just good old-fashioned hungry. You're at your favorite diner. Maybe you're in your favorite booth. Maybe it's your favorite waiter. He calls you chief. Hey, chief, what can I get you? What is your diner order?
I'm going corned beef hash.
Wow.
With hot sauce.
Whoa.
Corned beef hash, an unreasonable amount of hot sauce. Almost an alarming amount of hot sauce. Corned beef hash.
I love this.
Yeah.
I love this. What a great answer. I've never heard anybody give... I don't know that I've ever heard anyone talk about corned beef hash. I feel like people stopped talking about corned beef hash in the 60s. I appreciate that you're willing to say it on an open microphone right now. What an answer. Here we go. Next question. Zach Carver, please name a celebrity you're pretty sure you'd be good friends with.
I think Jason Segel and I would get along.
I can see that.
Yeah.
He's a basketball fan.
I think the two of us, yeah. He's a basketball dude. Like, we have, he's obviously much funnier, but we have similar styles of humor and senses of humor. I gotta assume you like
the Muppets as well.
Love the Muppets. Sure. He's a little tall. You know, he's a little tall, but whatever. That's a me problem. It's not a him problem. I can deal with that. Yeah.
Zach, next question. Do you have a favorite breakfast pastry?
You know what? I'm gonna shout out my friend. Emily used to work in the NBA. She gave that up to make donuts. She's in Hoboken, New Jersey. Do Good Donuts is the Instagram account, and it's the company name. She makes them all from her place. Like, she, and let me tell you, like, I hadn't had one until this past October. She brought me a donut. She came over from Hoboken, came to the city. We had dinner. She brought me a donut. When I tell you, it's the best donut
I've ever had in my life. I'm so excited.
Like, normally I'd be like, oh, a croissant or whatever. It is by far the best donut I have ever had. And I've had some damn good donuts.
I am so excited. Good donuts. Do they have a brick and mortar? Do they have like a storefront?
Nah, man, it's all out. And she delivers, and like, she does like pop-ups and everything.
So wait,
like,
can I get one?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
I'm going to do it. I'm so excited to try that. I love that answer.
It's the best donut I've ever had.
Oh my God. Emily, Do Good Donuts. Check it out. I'm so excited because I can actually go get this. I can try this. That's fantastic. That's really exciting. We'll stay on junk food for a moment. What's your favorite Little Debbie snack cake?
I'm not even picking a Little Debbie here. Okay. All right. Okay. Because I could give you like, oh, yeah. No. What I would go for in this year, like, I'm at a convenience store or whatever, I'm grabbing a Hostess cupcake.
Okay. They're phenomenal.
Every time.
Wait, which color?
The chocolate with the little white swirl stripe, whatever. Like,
classic.
I'm getting that every time. Like, okay. I'm skipping everything. Okay. That's what I'm getting.
I'm fine with that. I do like, I prefer the yellow ones. Do you remember the yellow ones?
Oh yeah, yellow one's really good. Yeah.
I really love a yellow Hostess cupcake.
And I'm not even a chocolate guy, but like,
for whatever reason,
there's a nostalgia there that I think it still hits.
For sure. You know what I've never done, and it's only hitting me right now as I'm thinking about it, could you peel the frosting off of one of those cupcakes and then eat the cupcake and then just eat the frosting on its own? Or maybe
Could you?
I've never done it.
I've done it 100 times. Could you?
It's a lot of fun to think about. Maybe you could
Hey, Oppenheimer, you think you could do this algebra problem for me?
It's a lot of fun to think about taking that frosting.
What?
Off. Maybe you're putting it on something else. Maybe you're putting it on a chocolate
chip. That's the move.
Oh, man.
That's the move.
This is what the whole fucking episode is.
Oh, my God.
About.
Could you?
Good Lord Almighty. Next question. I love my BlackBerry when I had it as a cell phone. Did you love your BlackBerry?
Never had one.
Oh, my God. You're so young. You're so young, Zach.
No, you're so young. No, I'm so ahead of the curve. I went from a Razor to the first iPhone. Never look back. I've had an iPhone since day one.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
I got the iPhone 1, and I remember I took a picture, and I told my girlfriend at the time, who I think had a Razor. She didn't have an iPhone.
Yeah.
And I said, I can't send you this picture. It'll blow up your phone. I have been on the iPhone 1 since day one. I've had friends and girlfriends who had Blackberries, saw the hype, know the NBA executives love a Blackberry for the messenger and everything. Never had one once.
Yeah, wow. Really awesome. Really awesome. What a great answer. You saved it. I was going to turn on you, but you saved it. It was fantastic. All right. best sports nickname? Do you have a favorite sports? I'm going to say best or favorite. Do you have a best or favorite sports nickname?
He was one of my favorite players growing up. The commercials in the last few years have not been great to his image, but it's the Big Hurt. It's Frank Thomas, you know. Eugenics aside, like it's the Big Hurt. Like I remember just thinking that was such a cool nickname when I was a kid, and I'll keep this short, but like the best thing of my childhood is one day, and I didn't live far from the grade school. I think I was in maybe the fifth grade. My dad one day, I used to like either take the bus or walk to school. My dad one day was like, "Hey, I'm gonna drive you to school today." And I was like, kind of confused, like, "All right." Growing up in Sacramento, and we drive past the school, we stop at like this donut shop down the road, and I'm like, "What's going on? Yeah. Like, I'm gonna be late."
Yeah.
And he says, "I called you in sick today.
Oh,
we're going to Oakland.
Oh.
White Sox are in
town.
Oh
man,
we're gonna watch the Big Hurt play baseball.
Shit.
I gotta change it because I had to wear a uniform to school and everything. Got to change of clothes and glove in the car in the trunk.
What a damn move!
To this day, I'm like, if I have a kid someday, I'm 100% doing.
Oh my god,
100%. Like that will be something that happened. It's a memory that'll never. And so
for
like, and
sure.
The fact that it was the Big Hurt. I wasn't a White Sox fan, but I just love Frank Thomas. Like, what a great memory!
Story that honestly lifts my spirits. What a great
my
story!
My dad is the best guy.
Oh
ever.
My
he's
god,
he's my hero. Like he's the best. Yeah.
What a story. I love that. Man, that makes me want to shake your dad's hand. That's a killer move.
Oh, he's the best.
The Big Hurt, too. The black cap with that White Sox.
Yeah.
Fuck,
man. Oh,
man.
It's just this big dude just cranking home runs.
Yeah.
Hitting for average,
holy
too. You know, hitting 340. Like, oh, man. Big Hurt was he was a time, man.
Isn't it funny how everyone listening to this right now just is going right now as I'm talking. They're going, yeah, man, the Big Hurt is a great nickname. And you know why they're saying that? Because of what your dad did with you. That's what's happening right now is everybody's going, that is a great – that you know what? That's going up my nickname ranking right now because of the story Zach told about his dad.
Shout out to Bill Harper,
holy
man. That is a king of kings right there.
Oh, my God. Zach, last question. Please name something that really kicks ass.
Ooh, something that really kicks ass?
Yeah. Take your time.
In the Big Crit song, remix, country shit.
Yes.
There is a line from Ludacris, first verse, line from Ludacris that is it might be my favorite bar in rap history, right? He says, "I might not be shit to you, but my mama thinks I made it." And that is, I could be in the worst fucking mood. I could be in the worst mood having the worst day. If I hear that song and I hear that lyric, my spirits are like that.
Oh my God.
That kicks so much. Like, Luda's not the best rap by any, but that, for whatever reason, like, I might not be shit to you, but my mama thinks I made it. Like, that lifts me beyond.
Oh my God.
I fucking love that line. That kicks ass.
That kicks ass. That's what a great answer. Zach Harper, more important, you killed it. Well done. It's time for the cosign. You know what? I'm going to flip it. For the first time in this show's history, I'm flipping it. It's usually the cosign Zach gives his final closing statements on which of these moments he thinks is best. And then I go with the induction speech and I make the decision. I have to take everything into account and I make the decision. I am doing the induction speech first. Now listen to what I'm going to do here.
Okay.
And I mean this. I have prepared for this, you know, over the past 10, 12 hours. I've done research. I've watched all the highlights. I've watched the clips. We've presented a lot of information. This was a lot of fun to do. I mean this earnestly. I honestly don't know which of these two moments I prefer. It's the fucking Golden Knife Omega Blade. These are so perfectly balanced. I don't know. Which of these things
is called that? What if it is called the Omega Blade? And like,
what would be the bigger moment in this podcast? You pulling Omega Blade or me getting the Spivder hoodie amulet?
No, it's Spivder.
I don't know.
I still haven't wrapped my mind around that. Yeah,
I just want you to know that's how much I care about the Omega Blade name.
Yeah.
It's one of those two. It's a fucking horse race. The point is, Thanos' golden Omega Blade knife. perfectly balanced moments. I don't know what I want to do. I feel compromised. I don't have enough time. I'm a little whipped up. I'm excited about the dunk just happened. I'm basking in the glow of this wave, this wake. It's very exciting. The block was only 9 days ago.
Yeah.
There's a lot to consider here. I don't know what to do. I want to cede my vote to a first ballot guest, Zach Harper. The floor is yours. The mic is yours. You are making the call. Which of these two moments goes into the first ballot Hall of Fame and why? It could be both. It could be neither. I'm putting this on you. Are you comfortable with this final say?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I'm built for this.
Rob, if you could put on like some exciting music, something that's, you know, raises the tension here for Zach. Zach, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I don't know if we have the rights to O Fortuna. from Carmina Burana, but that would be preferable here.
any Bocelli will do as well.
That is the type of
thing. Sometimes I say something, I just feel like sometimes I just feel like an idiot. It's like the dumbest person.
Oh, that was perfect.
They're both in.
Oh my god.
I could give you some great preamble, but like, they're both in. Like, are you kidding me? He hit his head on the backboard and the rim on a game-saving block because he missed a free throw. If he makes the free throw, they call timeout, they shoot a three. Who knows? It goes in, it doesn't. They go to overtime, they don't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not a moment. It's not a moment. It's just another game in the regular season, classic Timberwolves-Pacers rivalry, yep, right? Like, yep. No one cares. People have, like, that... People may like that game matters to people because of what Ant did. He damn near, you know, not to be insensitive, damn near Gordon Hayward, Paul George'd himself on the landing. Like it looked like it was gonna be so bad because all he cared about was, I'm finna go get this. The words that he said, I'm finna go get this. And he did it. He got it and then figured it out. The dunk, when you like again. Spivda has never been as popular as it is right now because of Jalen Clark. No offense to Young Thug, all right? And Thugger Nation. So eloquently put. Monty Morris in a crime scene, walked into a bank heist, walked out without being noticed. Kyle Anderson losing his ever-loving shit because he saw a ghost murder a human being. An ant couldn't went to celebrate, overcome by the pain of dislocating his finger. John Collins out of the game. I don't care. Call it a dunk. I don't care. Just keep showing me the highlight forever. I will watch those two highlights. And I don't doubt Ant's probably going to have 25 plays in the next year that blow those out of the water because he is a superstar. Yeah. He is the face of this league should be. Yep. You want to know when the next American-born MVP is happening? You're seeing it.
That's right.
It's not this year, but it's going to be soon. Like, Ant is a superstar. He's got a kick-ass shoe. He's one of the most fun personalities. He's a guy that does it on both ends of the floor, and he doesn't give a shit what happens to his body in the moment because he's going to go make the play. He has done what only one other man... Well, all right, I got to credit Jimmy Butler for doing this a little bit, but what really only one other man has ever done, Kevin Garnett, which is make the Timberwolves relevant in a positive way.
Yes,
they're both in, man. They're both in.
Zach Harper at Talk Hoops. He's a legend, a true first ballot guest. I'm so glad you were here.
Thank you.
A fantastic finish. I thought maybe you're going to hang on that. He puts them both right in. That's the excitement I have. Listen, it's exciting. We're in a moment. This is the first emergency pod. We're doing it. Zach Harper comes and kills it. Tell, what are you working on? What can you plug? How can people follow you?
You know what? Obviously I would love people to subscribe to The Athletic, but I understand not everyone's got the money to do that. What you can get from The Athletic is a free newsletter from me and Shams Charania every morning, Monday through Friday. TheAthletic.com/TheBounce. Little newsletter in your email every single morning. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun with it. that ant block is all over it. Like, you'll get highlights, you'll get a fun little twist on the NBA. I think you'll enjoy it. And Cinephobe podcast, we review. It's myself, it's the jump shot maestro Amino Hassan, who's having a week, but he doesn't know how to shoot a jumper, but he does know how to review a bad movie with me. It's Anthony Mays, our producer, who's also on the show. We review movies that are 40% or lower on Rotten Tomatoes, and we try to ascertain if they're properly poorly rated or they didn't get a fair shake. That's Cinephobe, wherever you get podcasts.
Support this man, Zach Harper. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh my God, always a pleasure.
That's it. That's the show. My sincere thanks to Zach Harper at Talk Hoops. Follow this man. Subscribe to his newsletter on The Athletic. It's fantastic. I get it myself. Support him. He supports the show. He supports me. I really appreciate it. Good friend of mine. Thanks again, Zach, for coming on the show. Credits, Robbie Bobby Rucci. Edits, Jessica Seng runs the show. EJ Cabasal is my social producer. D.A. David Ostramskis is my Ball's Life producer. Rhythm J makes all the First Ballot beats. Follow him on social at First Ballot. Please rate and review us if you would, please. Let us know which moment you think is better. At First Ballot Pod on Twitter, at First Ballot HOF on Instagram. I realize those should be the same. And please come back next week for more First Ballot.